Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. Can you please help support this vital ministry? Discerning Hearts is a 100% listener-supported Catholic apostolate. Now through the end of August, please prayerfully consider making a sacrificial gift to help us raise $30,000 to fund truly life-changing Catholic programming and prayer. The financial contributions of listeners like you enables us to continue this important ministry. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your donations are fully tax deductible. Again, between now and the end of August, please visit discerninghearts.com to make your donation. Thank you, and God bless you from all of us at Discerning Hearts.
Discerninghearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essev. Monsignor Essev is a priest in the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essev encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. Pope John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essev. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Good morning.
Good morning, Monsignor. How are you?
Wonderful. As there's a reading from the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in futility of life, in their minds. That is not how you learned Christ, assuming that you have already heard about him and were taught of him as truth in Jesus, that you should put away the old self of your former ways, corrupted through defilement and deceitful desires, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, created in God and his ways of righteousness and holiness of life." That the whole thing, I was thinking, you know, kids really love movies, and I know I did. When I would see Superman, you know, to put on this, whatever this Superman was, it seems as if it was all in his Superman costume. You put it on, and bango, you'd be in this new person. You know, I know a kid once who put on a Superman costume and jumped off this huge height and broke both his legs.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Somebody told him that he could really, just be Superman. But kids are fascinated by that, aren't they? Don't you see them? Like, mm-hmm. What happens is, it seems as if these are disguises of people who wear other clothes. I'm thinking of the Lone Ranger, the Masked Man, people who are going to get into this new persona seem to be masked. And we are masked with this old self. And what we're asked to do is to remove the mask. And I am this super person inside of me. I am Christ. And that's what Paul is encouraging us to do in that letter to the Ephesians. Put on the new man, this new person. And what is my true identity? This is who I am. This is who I am in a supernatural way, but this person that I really am. So many times through deceit and through some kind of futility that he's talking about there, I cover up my true self, Now take off that mask. Put on the new man. Let yourself be who you really, really are. The designer who made me as I am. You, Chris, are your true self when you become what he made you to be. That's the deepest truth about you. So that is waiting to be lived. That is waiting to be brought out. And it's who you really, really are. And my true self, my real self, to love unconditionally and to be this person, this you, that you really are naturally, the one who you were really made to be. That when I more and more get in touch with that person, the one who I really am, and in Paul's encouraging us to do that, we have the story of the Jews in the desert who were complaining and that they had been led out into the desert in the book of Exodus. And they were longing for the food of Egypt, the food of the bondage. And God said, I will give them food from heaven, where God sends down the manna for them to eat. Each day, they're going to have their daily bread, and it will come down from heaven. God gave them manna in the desert to satisfy their hunger. And he gave them meat at night. The quail came into their camps. I am the Lord your God. I love you, and I will feed you. And so he teaches his people in the old covenant. And then it switches to the New Testament, where Jesus refers to the people that he had multiplied the loaves for. And they're seeking him, and they want him. And he said, you want me because your hunger was satisfied by the bread that I gave you. But seek the bread of that comes down from heaven. And who is that bread? Who is the bread? I am the bread of life. He who believes in me shall never die. So the teaching is not only on the Eucharist, but even more deeply as Paul refers to it as my true self. I am the one you are seeking. In the Holy Word, and in the letter of Paul, I am the one. Be in me, and I will be in you. And the Eucharist, which is going to be that food and drink, my body and my blood in the Eucharist, will feed this to be brave enough to really live that divine life. The challenges of the liturgy of this moment, this day, the challenge is to put away the false self. God wants us to put on this new self, this new awareness of who we really are. And so this natural person that I am, what a great and wonderful truth this is going to be. Once we learn it, when I really kind of think about it, who are the saints? John Vianney. He dared to do it. He was bold enough to live that divine life. It was amazing. The truth about the people of ours, where he was pastor, for years were making a novena. And he asked them one day, what have you been praying for? And they were praying that he got moved. They said, our prayers were not answered. Because actually, in the reading of ours, they wanted to get rid of Jeremiah. They wanted to get rid of John the Baptist because he was constantly pricking their conscience. Get out of here. Go someplace else. And in fact, then with Jeremiah, they wanted to kill him. And of course, the true prophet Jesus, they did kill. to really become who I am and to put on the new self is what the saints do. When I think of Mother Teresa, you know, I think of how she just continually through her love conquered what was against her. A very important people that I know loved her was Fidel Castro, Daniel Ortega. Those communists who seem to be against people of religion were not against her because she loved them. She conquered them and their negativity. Gorbachev loved Mother Teresa and allowed her to begin her work in communist Russia. Saint Pio, again, a man of tremendous suffering and sorrow, but who was himself. He became and dared to be who he was, Jesus Christ, Jesus crucified. Walter Chizik, a man who was truly himself. The communists wanted to try and break him. And as you read the account of his life, he became more and more under the pressure of his captors, who he truly was, Christ. There's the story of the very famous Cardinal Nguyen, who had cancer in Vietnam. And because of his tremendous holiness, he was constantly converting his jailers. They wouldn't even let him in one jail too long, because the more his oppressors and those who were against him and those who were torturing him would do it, he would convert them. He had such power. So that he, in becoming his true self, was becoming his natural self. And so this is really the challenge, I believe, that's out there for us today. Today, each of us has. I think every Catholic who goes to Mass, or every priest who teaches, is being challenged to put on this new self, to be bold enough to be who I really am. And in a sense, not to put on a mask. We already are carrying such masks, but to take off the mask of deceitfulness, to take off the mask of my false self, who I truly am, Jesus. And that, of course, is going to mean that I can no longer allow in my mind to be critical of anyone, that I am going to be my loving self. When I see myself with negativity toward anyone, any human being whom I know, so that as you go through this day, begin with your own family. You know, what do you really, you know, what is really in your mind about your husband? What are you really feeling and thinking in your heart about your children? What love is there not to allow any condemnation, any criticism, any rejection, but just to be Christ to each of them? To allow this love unconditionally to pour out, to be brave enough to be Christ today. To go through this day, to let it begin now. Salvation begins now. And repentance for me, I will not let it in. I will no longer be critical, condemnatory of anyone. And I will become who I was called to be, that person that I really am, to truly be Christ in the world today, to put on the new man, and to be and have the courage today to live the life of Christ. That's who I am. That's who you are. Now, can you imagine if everyone in the world today, this day, would begin now, even though, well, maybe just to begin with, those who would listen and hear this, who would have the courage to say, now I begin to live the life of Christ. I am convinced that that's who I am, and this is the person I will put on, and in such a unique way that each of us, as this same Ephesians text talks about, if I will do it, and you will do it, and we will do it, this is the body of Christ coming alive in a whole new way in the world today. What a magnificent newness would overtake the world, that truly this would be manna, true manna, coming down from heaven, giving new life. He who believes in me and eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall live, not only today, but forever.
Monsignor, what role does fear play in limiting our ability to be able to live that Christ life, to live that identity? Because I think sometimes it causes us to potentially run.
It's constant. The fear is a constant threat. That's why, you know, if you were to just take that challenge to just say that, you know, I now will begin this new life, the gift of the Holy Spirit that you really believe, I believe you need to say that, is the gift of courage. Even if you were to pick up this text and read it more completely from St. Paul, brothers and sisters, I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. And it's like the fear will constantly have us postpone this what if and all the kind of negativity that will come to want to stop us from living and being Christ in the world today. You can't do it. You really can't possibly live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the life of Christ. You can't live it today. You can't possibly think all day long today lovingly toward everyone you meet. Your mind will not allow you to do this. It's going to go to some kind of criticism, some kind of negativity. And I must have the courage to say, no, I will not let you enter into my mind. I will see the good in every person. I was just living this today when I began to see how important this was for me not to condemn, not to criticize, not to judge anyone. And I saw the tremendous temptations. And then when I began to experience those thoughts that were coming at me from many sources, just in people whom I would meet here in the villa that I'm living in, how this negativity, this thought, this criticism would come. And no, no to that. And yes, yes, to this love, that unconditional love to give to each person that I meet. Yes, I think fear does, to answer that again, play a huge role in preventing me from living my greater self.
For some who may be listening, the fear may not necessarily be because they are afraid for themselves personally, but maybe there's a man out there who, I can't live this Christ-like life completely in my workplace because I have my children to take care of. or a mother may feel the same way. Well, that's fine, but I need to protect those around me or to meet these certain needs. It's hand in hand with trust, then, isn't it?
Once you have this loving trust of the new person that you put on, which is, what does Jesus do? Jesus, total trust, if I'm going to live his life, he trusts in his Father. The trust for this mother of a family, he, that is Christ in her, trusts in God the Father. The Father will take care of me always. And trust him. Have the courage, as Jesus does, to trust the Father. Then I see that many, many things in my life need to be conquered by trust and abandonment to God and my confidence in him. What a freedom we would have once we live the life of Jesus.
Oh, but see, I think that's it. You said the word abandonment to God. And, you know, so many of us have, we live that in a relationship, and those human persons abandoned us.
Can't you feel, though, more than, what I feel when you ask me that question, Chris, is I feel the handcuffs going on. And the leg being hampered and tied, and my whole body being bound. You know, that's, well, fear binds us and controls us, and this frees us. You just feel the freedom of moving around easily through the complete trust that you would have, and the courage to live the life of Christ. You are free in him. I move and have my being, and I have this freedom of not being tied down by my fears.
Gosh, I would think we all want to live that way. Be heaven.
But, you know, try it. It really works. To break loose from all the fears. This text is such a powerful one today, and especially with both the texts of the Eucharist on either side. When you go to Mass, you know, be Christ, walk in being Christ, and know that you're going to have bread from heaven, he who eats this flesh and drinks this blood. But to begin with that divine life, to begin with putting on the new man, as you enter into the Eucharist today, and then to hear him say, I will give you my flesh to eat and my blood to drink, just see the baptism and the confirmation, and for me, ordination, is that which gives me that identity. I am a new man. I am Christ in the world. You are Christ in the world today. We are Christ in the world today. And now, unbelievable gift, we're going to be fed by his body and blood, and we're going to receive him in the Eucharist. So they said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Who comes to me will never hunger. Who believes in me will never thirst. That whole text of John 6 is there for us. As you are going to take this new resolution to be Christ today, then when you go and approach the altar, you will never be hungry. You will never be thirsty. This is going to fill you with the energy and the desire and the hope that you will live this new life. And you will be like men of old. Like you can be another Sheen or Walter Chiswick or Padre Pio or Mother Teresa, or John Vianney, or St. Catherine Siena, all the powerful women and men of the past you can be. And you know, little children, you can also be that. Maybe, not just, maybe you can lead us to put on this new person and to take off. Just think of yourself now. Get up this morning, and when you go to Mass, you are going to be Jesus. You're going to put on that new person. All day long, you're going to be one with Christ in your thinking, in the way you talk, in the way you walk, in what you do, where you go, and how you play, and wherever ever God takes you today, be Jesus. Be Jesus. Be Jesus.
Amen, Monsignor.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Any final thoughts?
That we're called to be Christ in the world today is the most challenging and magnificent call in the world. What is my call? To be Christ. Listen to the call. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Monsignor.
God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff.